spiritual warfare. Now, last week, we talked about the mind. About the mind, the warfare in our mind. And, you know, that has many different aspects. Depression, right? Depression is an aspect of war, spiritual warfare, because the devil will try and attack your mind. That's what we talked about last week. And the Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind. You got to put on the helmet. We talked about the helmet of salvation. When you have salvation covering your mind, if that's what's in foremost when you wake up, you are guarded. You are protected. But this week, we're going to talk about the other ways that Satan wants to attack. And apart from the mind, does anyone know how Satan wants to attack you? Your body sickness? We'll be covering that next week, but that's a good one. Through other people. In fact, as I said before, you know, ghosts can't really do you anything, you know, may disturb your sleep, you may. But the one you really have to fear is people. As you said, sometimes you have to flee. He was running away from Saul, and he came to this place called Keilah. And these people in this town owed him a favor. He had delivered them. He had rescued them one time. But you know, David was very wise. He decided to do what? Inquire of the Lord. Look at how many times in the scripture, if you want to do spiritual warfare, you know what you got to do? You got to pray. Inquire of the Lord. So he inquired of the Lord. He said, you know, I'm at this town and these people owe me, but Lord, if I stay here, is Saul going to come and find me here? And the Lord told him, yes. Then he said, well, if I stay in this town, will the people hand me over to Saul? And the Lord said, yes. People can betray you. Let me say it again. People can betray you. That's why you have to inquire. We're in spiritual warfare. So David knew what to do. If you're in spiritual warfare, you got to take advice. You've got to get the person who knows what's happening on the battlefield. So David asked God what was going to happen. And so he said, you know, to his men, we can't stay here. We got to flee. The devil does his most work, not through ghosts, not through things that go boo, you know, but in people. And that's what we're going to study today, people. Talking about spiritual warfare. The Bible has a name for it. Oh, I don't have it on there. I'm talking away and you can't see anything. Let me, here we go. All right, let me turn off these lights so that we can see. Last week we discussed the battle for the mind. And depression is a powerful thing that works to destroy your health and your faith. And also, if the devil can get your mind worried, take away your sleep. But as I said, the other avenue he works through is people. And the people he works through, the Bible calls them what? The children of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's the prince of the power of the air? Satan. He said, before you were saved, you were quite susceptible to that. You listened to that. You were on his team. He says, but now, according to this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works where? In the children of disobedience. And that's what we're going to study today, because we're in spiritual warfare. And it's through other people that Satan really has his most power. He couldn't do nothing to Jesus until he did what? You remember at the supper? Jesus took the sop, dipped it, gave it to Judas, and then you know what the scripture then says? Satan entered into him. It's through people that you'll have the most trouble. It's a shame. And sometimes it will be the people who sit at your table. Isn't that true with Jesus? He said, have not I chosen all of you, but one of you is a devil. Oh my goodness. Over my years of working, I've come up with some little Bible theories that I hold. And one of them is, if you get a group bigger than 11, you got a jerk. One of those people will be a jerk. So just understand that. And I base that on the Bible. If Jesus had to have a jerk, a Judas, what say us? The devil is going to find someone who sits at your table to enter into. The difference is Jesus knew who it was. Many of us, we just go blindly along thinking everybody is our friend. Everybody is our friend. The Bible says to be what? Wise as, but harmless. Everybody is not your friend. Some people that sit at your table and ate with you, Satan has entered into them. And so we're going to study today the children of disobedience, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. The course of this world is do what pleases you. Do what feels good. Do what seems right unto yourself. But most of the time, that's not what God wants. And so when you stop doing that, you're going to find resistance. You're going to find opposition. All your friends, your homies, and so on are not going to think the same about you. They're going to think, what's wrong with you? What's up? So let's look at this. So the manifestation of spiritual warfare, for the most part, yes, he will attack us through our mind, which is one of the powerful ways he attacks us, but the other way is through people. And not everybody, as I said, is your friend. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now by that it means it's actually not the person. It's what's gotten into the person. It's how they're being used. True, it's not. That's why we shouldn't get so personal. When we see someone come against us, don't take it out on that person. You got to just take a breath and say, I see what's going on here. Okay, I get it. I see, Satan, what you're doing here. You're trying to take away my peace. You're trying to destroy my situation right now. Because it's not that person. It's the spirit that's behind that person. Remember, Judas couldn't really do too much until it said Satan entered into him. As soon as Satan entered in, he took off. He couldn't stay in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He took off. So although it's going to be flesh, it's going to be the manifestation, it's the power behind that we really have to be aware of. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The angels have a hierarchy. Did you know that? They have an order to them. There's a head guy and then there's the minions. You've seen those minions. They don't look like that, but he has his minions. And when you start to draw closer to God, the minions report on you. You know, in Matthew 18, God tells us that when you come to him, you have a guardian angel. He says, don't mess with my little ones, because their angel doth always behold the face of my Father. We have a guardian angel. And similarly, Satan deploys a little minion to follow us around. Did you know that? You might not be aware of it, but he's probably stopped at the door out there waiting for you to come out and say, now let me see how I can get him. They had a good time in church today. They heard some word there. They had that planted. Let me see how I can get him. He's got a minion, you know, a little yellow thing with a big eye. You've seen them. Minions, yes. They're out to get you. But it's when they get in people is when they're dangerous. It's the manifestation in a person. And you know what? If we're not careful, he can use us. Instead of giving a word of encouragement, someone comes to us with their problem, we go, man, whoa, you're in trouble now. Man, you've had it. Instead of saying, I'm going to pray for you and lift you up, some of us are just like Job's comforters. You know what we're doing? We're letting Satan's minions say, looking at the situation with our eyes. Let me show you an example how even someone who was close to Jesus let himself be used by a minion. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. Oh, that doesn't sound right. Not according to all these television preachers. You're not supposed to suffer. It's supposed to be the head and not the tail, above and not below, right? They only read certain scriptures in the Bible. They don't read like in Revelation where it said to the church, I think of Sardis, that you will be thrown in prison for 10 years. What? But we have been called, the Bible says, not just to greatness, but to some suffering. In this world, you will have what? Tribulation. Paul, I'm calling you for great things. The great things you must suffer. Oh my goodness, Lord, I don't want to be called that's how it is. So we see that even though you have been called, we must make sure that we're not being used. Now look at this. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. And Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders. You know, sometimes when God starts to tell us things or through situations and it doesn't look like a good situation, we start to question it. Am I the only one that does that? Things start to go wrong, you start to question it. That is normal. And we don't believe that God could have allowed us to be in that situation. This is the situation here where Jesus is starting to tell his disciples what he's going to have to face. And of course, Peter couldn't accept this. And in a previous Bible study, I said that Jesus called Peter different names, depending on what he was saying. Do you notice that? When he was doing right, he called him Simon. When he was messing up, he called him Peter. Or maybe the other way around, sorry. Simon's when he messed up. Peter's when he was doing right. Let's look at this. And he spake and saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Hey, Jesus. Well, then you don't have to go through this. Just give it up. Just stop going to church. You know, you can just do this. Nobody at church will know. It's easier. Right? You can get out of this. And spake and saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. I can imagine Peter was going like, who's he talking to? Anyone know what Satan means? Adversary. This is an example where someone who had a good heart was looking at the situation with non-spiritual eyes. And when you do that, the little minions can suggest some bad things to you. And Jesus did not hesitate. He was not like soft about it. Well, Peter, you know, you really shouldn't talk to me that way. Get thee behind me, Satan. The scripture doesn't really bring out the tone that he said it with, but I don't think it was that gentle. I bet you Peter really understood that he had messed up. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not. You don't taste, you don't flavor what God's plan is. Sometimes God's plan, the flavor of it at first may be bitter. Do you remember the scripture where he was given the scroll? And when he started to eat it, it was bitter. But you know, once it got into the stomach, it was sweet. Sometimes the situation that God puts us in, it looks bitter. But you got to eat it. You can't let any of it drop to the floor. When they were leaving Egypt in the Exodus, God told them, you got to eat all of the lamb. You can't leave any of it. If there's too much for one family, it's got to be burnt. You can't eat a little bit of God's word. It's not a buffet. It's not pick and choose. You have to have all of it. So he looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. That should be a warning to all of us. That if we're not careful, if we look at situation with non-spiritual eyes, and we just look at it the way the world looks at it, well, it's easy. I don't like all the trouble of being a pastor. I can quit. I can go back. I still have my house. You know, the devil will come to you with all kinds of things. You don't have to go to that church. Man, they're always picking up money. Well, at least for this church, that's not true, but you know. Man, they're always having service. Man, they have more services than any other church. They've always got something going. I'm tired. The devil will work through people and bring you down, and you will regurgitate that. Let's look at this. So the manifestation in this case was through Peter. Isn't that shocking to you that after three and a half years, seeing all that Jesus had been through, he allowed the little voice of doubt. Sometimes, as I've said to you, in your situation, the way out is the way through. Right? Sometimes you have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. There's not an off-ramp. But thou art with me. Amen. So we see that the manifestation in this case was a close friend of Jesus. His most prominent disciple told him, you don't have to suffer. Take the easy way. And yet he hadn't heard Jesus say so many times, for this cause came I into the world. For this cause came I. This time it wasn't the devil directly talking to him, like when he came out of the desert. This time he was using a close friend. And a lot of times that's very effective. When you have someone who you love and they say some things to you, it has more weight. But Jesus did not even hesitate. Here's how you deal with spiritual warfare. You rebuke it. You can't patacake it. You can't indulge it. You have to confront it, no matter who it's coming from. Amen. Let me explain something, and I'm going to go back a little bit. Now, we've said that one of the ways that spiritual warfare comes is through people. And the Bible speaks about the children of disobedience. So now you begin to see how Satan can use people. It's when they become what? Disobedience. You see, people think it's all about God's grace, which it is. But grace is something that what? Where do we get grace from? So it's a receiving. So grace comes from God. But for there to be a relationship, there's got to be something that comes back to God. Okay? And that is obedience. It's a two-way street. God gives us grace. We give him obedience. Now, if all you're doing is getting grace, you know what? You don't have a relationship. Do you understand that? If all you're getting is forgiveness all the time, you don't really have a relationship. For the relationship to really be true, there's going to have to be something going back. And the first thing that goes back to God is obedience. Worship, praise, all those other things are sacrifices. And I'm going to show you that the Bible says it's better to do what? Obey. That's why you have people going into churches and they think it's all about worship and shouting and they think that's obedience. But when they go out there, they go back to doing exactly what they were doing before because they don't get it. It's not about worship if you're not giving the other thing back, which is because that's how Satan is going to use you, because he works through the children of disobedience. He doesn't work through any other way. Let's look at this. So the relationship is that God gives us grace. And we have to give him back something, or it's a one-way street. Some people, all they are doing is always repenting. Now, hold on now. It's okay to be repenting. We have to die daily. But at some point, we got to throw in a little bit of obedience. At some point, we actually have to do what he's telling us to do. If David had stayed in Keilah, you know what would have happened? First of all, when Saul came, the people would have betrayed him. And so he was obedient. He was obedient. He took off, Sister Johnny. All right, we're recording, so. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Repeat your question.
The word repentance means to turn from. And so to repent every day and not turning from it is not repentance.
That's right. What you're doing then is just having a one-way thing. You're expecting God to just keep on giving you grace over and over. But as I said, a relationship is a two-way thing. A one-way thing is not a relationship. No. You can't have a one-way relationship. It's got to be returned. If there's two people in a relationship and one of them is always doing the giving, how long that relationship's going to last? It's not going to last very long. So people keep speaking about God's grace and his goodness and his love, and that's all true. But that's just one leg of the connection. If you bought a cell phone and it could only receive calls, what good would it be? Hello? You ever had that experience where you can hear them, but they can't hear you? And you keep on saying, it's very frustrating. Do you know how frustrated God must get with us? Because all he's doing is pouring in this grace. And it's a one-way call. Hello? Hello? You know what usually happens when that happens after a while? What do you do? You hang up. The communication then ceases. That's a lesson for us right there. So we must give him back obedience. And that's before worship. That's before praise. God wants obedience. So 1 Samuel 15:22, we're going to look at that. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? That's why you have all these churches. You go in and they're all worshiping and carrying on, running the aisle. Next day you see them somewhere else. It's because they thought it's all about sacrifices. They thought it was just like Saul. That if you come in and you say, thank you, Jesus, and worship, that's it. That's not the relationship. That's not the thing God is looking for. And if you do not give him back obedience, then you become the children of what? And what does the scripture say? The spirit that now works. We're talking about spiritual warfare. And I'm trying to tell you how to make sure, first of all, that you don't get like Peter and look at the situation with the wrong eyes, because you have to be obedient. Peter didn't understand what the scripture says about Jesus, that he was, first of all, obedient. Though a son, the Bible says, though a son, he was obedient up to the death of the cross. Do you realize how powerful that is, obedience as a weapon against spiritual attack? Most of the times we have messed up in our life is because, not because someone didn't give us good counsel, but it's because we did what? We didn't listen. We ignored it. Most of the time, it wasn't that we didn't know what the risk. I have this CD, they dropped it off this morning, and if anyone wants to listen, it was some great teaching. Great teaching on wisdom. The minister said that when he was 12, he went down to Washington Park because he wanted to be like Michael Jordan. But he didn't think about the fact that he was 7 inches shorter than Michael Jordan. So he got the park bench and was going to jump up and catch the rim. And he was able to jump up and catch the rim. But now there's a problem. There's no bench quite right underneath him. He says he wishes someone had told him, wait a minute now, listen, you're 7 inches shorter than Michael Jordan. Because now he was 10 feet up in the air. And when he came down, he broke his wrist and his hand. And obedience is better than sacrifice. Behold, to obey. You can give all the worship you want in here today. You can clap your hands. You can run around the church. But if in your heart you're being disobedient to the word of God, it avails you nothing. And what it will lead to, if you keep on doing it, is you're going to be used. You're going to be used. Just like Peter, you're going to be used. Let me give the full thing. Wherein in time past, he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince. We're talking about spiritual warfare. Last week we discussed how it's through the mind. This week I'm talking about, first, ourselves we have to guard against being used. And secondly, how we defend against other people. Wherein in time past, he walked according to the course of this world, according to the power of the air, prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now works in children of disobedience. That's who he's going to work in, disobedient. How can you tell a disobedient person? Last week, my pastor was here, wasn't he? And I'm not boasting, but he said that we were what? He used the word. For the 20-something years we were there, we were, begins with L, loyal. Now, I've said to you before, not that I agreed with everything he said, but guess what? He was my leader. He was my pastor. So you know what? I was obedient, loyal, obedient. Not that you're going to agree with every single thing that I say, but what does Paul say? He says, follow me as follow Christ. How do you know if you got a good shepherd or not? Well, Jesus gave lots of examples about what a good shepherd does. That's right. That's right. A good shepherd is going to care about the sheep. When the lion comes, he's not going to take off running. Every man for himself, I'm out of here. Now, I'm not saying I'm a good shepherd. I'm trying to be. And so it's my job to watch for the wolf and the lion. How do you know you get a good shepherd? Number one, he's going to go after the one sheep. He's not going to say, well, they're gone, so bye. I didn't love them anyway. No, he's going to try his best to go and save the one sheep. Isn't that the parable that Jesus said? Although he had the 90 and 9, he could say, well, man, that's a lot of trouble to go after this. A good shepherd, just like our Savior, the Bible says, for God so loved the world. Jesus wept at Jerusalem. He said, I would that none be lost. So good shepherd number one is going to try and go after all the sheep. Now, sometimes you ever had a little baby, 2-year-old, and you pick them up and they're fighting you. And they're fighting you. And they're fighting you. Now, sometimes, you know, they might fight you enough so they fall. And there's nothing you can do because you try to hold them, but they fought you. Sister Simone.
When a lady, she lost, I think it was a coin. Yeah. And
yes.
She searched everywhere for that coin.
Right.
And when she found this, she rejoiced.
Amen. So a good shepherd is first of all going to protect the sheep. The next thing he's going to do is make sure that they're fed and cared for. The Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me. Amen. Keep going. He leadeth me. Righteousness, right? So I'm not saying be obedient to someone who isn't following God, but Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. So if I was going to a church, the one thing I would want to make sure is that the person who is leading is following Christ to the best of their ability. And that doesn't mean they're perfect. That doesn't mean they're not going to make mistakes. But if I believe that they're feeding me, they care for my soul. There were many, many times. So I'll tell you why I stayed at that church so many times. Brother Long, for all, you know, whatever other, none of us is perfect. One thing I saw in him is that he really cared for people. He would go out of his way to look after people. And I know I'm going off topic here, but I just want to give you an example. I remember one Sunday when we, maybe about 2 years after we started coming to the church, at the time, the driveway to the church, it was a little bit out in the country, was a stone. It wasn't paved yet. And when we were coming along, my car, about, you know, half mile away from the church, broke down, the alternator, the water pump. And at the time, we were struggling financially. And Brother Long came out. And he came and he got the car started and he went and bought an alternator, had it put on the car, and that was it. He didn't have to do that. He wasn't even the pastor at that time. So a shepherd, a good shepherd, is going to care. Now, that doesn't mean every single time you can do everything for everybody, but a good shepherd is going to care. So now when you have a good shepherd, then the Bible tells us that we have to do what? Be obedient. If you're not being obedient, then you're leaving a little crack open to be used. We're in spiritual warfare. We're in spiritual warfare. Let's look at this a little bit more. Let's go back to see exactly what it was that Saul did. God had told Saul that you need to go and destroy the Agites, the Agagites, because first of all, they were idol worshippers. Not only that, they were, those of you who understand this, they were Nephilim. They were of the giants. Someone understands that. Amen. That's good. And so God said, you can't let any of them live. Now, this sounds very hard. He had to wipe them out because they were a tribe. And I'm just going to let you know this. They were mutants. And this is why God said you had to absolutely wipe them out, because if you don't, they're going to cause Israel trouble. And I'll tell you what the end result of Saul's disobedience was. So guess what Saul did? He took all the people and he said to the prophet, I'm going to do it. But then when he came and God gave them the victory and they destroyed all of the people, they saved the best things for themselves. 1 Samuel 15:20, and Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Samuel could hear the sheep bleeding. I don't know why some people try and come into church and fool the pastor. Listen, you might be able to fool me. It really doesn't matter. You're not going to fool God. And even if you think you fool me, you probably haven't. I just haven't told you that I know. I just haven't decided to tell you yet that I know. You know, you can't, but you know, can you think of how stupid this was? Saul said, I've obeyed. Samuel says, but listen, I hear sheep bleeding. What are you doing? Yea, I have obeyed. Then of course comes the excuse. When confronted with their actions, people always try and rationalize it. Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed. I did exactly what you wanted me to, God. But the people, someone else, I had no control. But the people took of the spoil. They did it, sheep and oxen. Teacher, it was him. He was spitting too. They took of the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed. He knew what he should have done. Can you see he's admitting it should have been utterly destroyed? He knew what he should have done. To sacrifice. But they took it for a good reason. They kept it to give to the Lord. Something that does not start right cannot end right. I better not say that. I was going to say something, but I better not. All I'm saying is this. Don't think you can do wrong by being totally disobedient and think it's going to work out. Now, occasionally, the Lord might have mercy if he sees a heart of true repentance. But most of the time, it does not work out. Does not work out. And I put this. Yeah, I won't go there. See what happens here. We see what happened to Saul. He made an excuse. He was disobedient. And when you become disobedient, the Bible says you're opening up the door to be used. Now, you might think, well, this is very harsh that God told them to destroy all these people. I'll tell you what happened, because he did not. 500 years later. Haman. You knew it. Okay. Amen. There's a Bible student right there. 500 years later, in the kingdom of Persia, here comes this man who was a descendant of who? The Agagites. Because, you see, these people had been already empowered by Satan and chosen to destroy Israel. It was either Israel or they destroy them. That's why God told them he had to wipe them out. And so Haman now has been engineered by Satan into a position of power. And this would never have happened if 500 years before Saul had done what he was supposed to do. But he let some of the Agagites escape. And because of that, Israel nearly got wiped out. Because Haman now went to the king and said, let's destroy all these Jews. That's where we get the Feast of Purim. And it was only God's intervention through Esther that stopped the destruction of the Jews. But God had to do that because of one man's disobedience. Do you understand why God was so angry with Saul? Because he could have caused the destruction of Israel. He said, I've rejected you. When we open the door through disobedience, we're in great danger. Because as that song that country singer used to sing, you're going to serve somebody. You're going to serve somebody. And if it's not God, there's only one other alternative. So let's serve God with all our strength, our whole heart. And that's the sum of the law, isn't it? That you love God with your whole, your heart, mind, and soul. It's not a buffet. You can't half serve him. He says, if you're going to be lukewarm, I'm going to what? Spew you out. Amen. So because of Saul's disobedience, 500 years later, it's important that when we don't obey God, what tragic events that we can cause, and we don't even see it. Saul had no clue. He thought, this is a good thing. Well, we'll keep the good animals and we sacrifice them. This proves that praise and worship is worthless without obedience. Don't matter how on fire you pretend to be or shout or run around this church or jump. If you're not obedient, forget about it. Forget about it. In fact, God goes even further. Samuel said, for rebellion. Because what Saul did was not against the prophet. In fact, Samuel was very sorry for Saul. He interceded. He said, Lord, please, please, have mercy on Saul. God said, I'm sorry. Samuel, you don't understand what problems in history now this man has caused me. Because I see what he's going to, because of his disobedience, I see what's going to happen. That's why I said to you a few Sundays ago, sometimes the devil will bring back things to me from 35 years ago. When we were talking about now, he'll bring back things I did 35 years ago because it didn't involve just me. And I'm thinking, did I cause someone 35 years ago now not to be serving God? That's why it's better to be obedient. I've told you so many times, my dad took me on a little car trip, parked the car, and started talking to me. And I was so glad. God's mercy was so great that somehow, even in my flesh, I didn't really want to listen to him. So I don't know, it's just God's grace. Because I was still in rebellion at that point. I didn't want to listen to him. I was 18 or 19, and I didn't really want to listen to him. And he just talked to me, pulled me over in the car, and he said, do you realize that you're not yourself, how you've been acting these last few months? And somehow, God's mercy let me start to think, and I started to think about my actions. Somehow, I went back into my past, and I said, you know, that really isn't me. Why did I do that? Why did I go down that path? Somehow, at that point, that point of intervention, God somehow reached down and showed mercy, and I kind of woke up. I woke up, and I said, Dad, you're right. Yes. And somehow the power of the enemy was broken. He could have taken my life in a completely different direction. The Bible said, you know, the only reason why that happened was because instead of being rebellious, I listened. Scripture says you will hear a voice in your ear saying, this is the way. Walk in it. We better listen sometimes before we make some big decisions. Samuel went on to explain to Saul what a big deal this was. Sometimes when we disobey, we don't think it's a big deal. Not a big deal. For rebellion, look at where he puts rebellion, where God puts rebellion, disobedience, is as the sin of witchcraft, spiritual warfare. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because what it means is you're not worshiping God, you're worshiping your own judgment. You're believing in I, me, and myself. You are at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you're saying, I know better. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. One of the saddest verses in the Bible. He hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, the amazing thing is, did you know that Saul still prophesied after that? Went to church, had revival with the prophets? That should tell you something. Not everyone that you see running around shouting. He had been rejected long ago. That's why the Bible says we have to make our calling and election sure. First step in that is obedience, being obedient to the word. You can look that up. In many scriptures, it says they were obedient to the word. Not to me. Obedient to the word. If I tell you my personal opinion, you don't have to follow that. You know, maybe my personal opinion is I don't like red. You can wear red all you want. It's my personal opinion, right? Now, I don't, it's not that I'm just giving that an example. Please, don't go away saying I don't like red. I like all the colors. I'm just giving you an example. But if it's the word of God, if it's the Lord says, thus saith the Lord, that's not my personal opinion. If he says, you're not born of the water and the spirit, you cannot enter in, that's not my personal opinion. You have to be obedient to the word. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And we find that even though Samuel had to say this because that was what God was telling him to say, he later went and said, Lord, please, he prayed. And God said, I think that's the saddest thing that I've ever read in the Bible. When God says, do not pray about this person anymore to me. Paul could be Hebrews, said that then when they have crucified Christ afresh, the only thing they have to look for is a fearful wrath. Amen. So rebellion, God puts it as the same as the sin of. Now I'm explaining spiritual warfare. I'm explaining how God can use otherwise, I say good, but there's none good. You understand what I'm saying? If we start to be disobedient to the word, that's the crack that the devil needs to start having his minions plant little suggestions. Then, of course, there's false prophets. And there's plenty of them. There's plenty of them. Now, therefore, behold, the Lord hath put a lying spirit. Did you know a lying spirit can sometimes tell truth? But it won't be the whole truth. Hath God said that you shouldn't eat of this? But it's to make you wise. That was true. It would give them knowledge of good and evil, but it wasn't knowledge that they should be able to eat at that point. Hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets. You know, that's why I really don't take too much when I've been to many, many services, and sometimes you have people and they come and they'll, oh, the Lord is going to do this, the Lord is going to do that for you. Oh, he's called you. A lot of times that really messes up some people's lives. You know, they just got saved yesterday and someone goes and tells them they're going to be a bishop. God is. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm not saying that. But you always have to harmonize all of Scripture, right? And in his instructions to Timothy, Paul said, don't appoint anyone to high office who is what? A novice. Or else they'll get what? Lifted up in pride. So I've been to many places where, you know, people have come up and told me all kinds of things. But if my spirit don't witness it, I don't even begin to think about that. Because I know what God has given me already. I know what God has given me. So just be careful what you listen to and what you receive. Because that can be another attack. The devil can be setting you up because, you see, he can't make it come to pass. And when it doesn't, people start to get discouraged and their faith starts to waver. And the Bible says that there are many false prophets, many false preachers. The Bible says that there would be what? A famine for the word of God. That sounds impossible. How many hundreds of churches today there are in Milwaukee? And yet the Bible says there will be a famine. You know what that tells me? That what's being said then is not what? The truth. It's not the word of God. Because there will be a famine for the true word of God. So you got to be careful in spiritual warfare where you eat. What word you take in. Are you listening to me? Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Let me explain how this works. And it came to pass as we went for prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us. So yes, you can have people that can come and start to tell you all kinds of things. Because remember what I said, just as how there is a guardian angel, Satan has a little minion that has followed you around as much as he can. He knows everything about you, your whole life history, and he can empower some lying demon possessed person to tell you back. And you get, oh my goodness, this must be the power of God. This is exactly what happened. This damsel, this young girl, was empowered with a spirit of divination. It wasn't the spirit of God, but she was able to tell things about people. And the way that it is done, because the Bible speaks about familiar spirits. A familiar spirit is just like how when you come to Christ, you have a guardian. From the time you were born, Satan has been watching you. And the moment you decide to live for Christ, he decides that he's going to personally try and attack you. He's going to send one of his minions. So when people see what they call ghosts, according to my understanding of the scripture, they're not seeing the true spirit of that person. What they're seeing is their familiar. And that familiar can tell them every single thing about that person as if it was that person. That's how they become deceived. And that's why it's very, very important where you spiritually eat, where you get your word, what kind of things you listen to and believe it's truth. You're sick of me telling this story, but it's how much poop is in the brownies, right? In the cookies. It's not how much truth anybody teaches, it's how much falsehood, even if it's a little bit. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. That means she was able to tell things that were true. And people were all in awe. You know, the devil can do miracles. He's able to bring tornadoes. He's able to cause sickness. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, see, the one thing is they recognized. She couldn't help but recognize who this was. These men are the servants of the Most High God. She told the truth, which show us the way of salvation. That should have been enough for their owners to repent right there. Because they knew what power this little girl was possessed with. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit. Now, see what he didn't say to the girl. Remember what I was saying? It's the spirit that's behind. He said to the spirit. A lot of times we pray for people. We're praying for them. We should be praying to the spirit that's either troubling them or in them. Because he didn't turn to the girl and call her. He turned to the spirit. I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. See, all the people who had been using this girl were listening to some truth, but it wasn't from God. It was some truth. That's why they were able to make money. That's why it's so important where you get your spiritual food from. Where you get your spiritual food from. It's very important. The people who had heard all of this stuff were getting their spiritual food from a spirit. They no doubt thought this was some power from God. But it was from a spirit. And how will you know then? How will you know? How will you know when the truth is being said and who is saying it? How can you know? By their fruits. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. You know, after a while, people will out themselves. Do you know what I mean? Judas started outing himself quite early on. Hey, well, this is terrible that this woman should take all this money and buy this thing and give it to you, to this one person. Couldn't this have been sold and given to the poor? It wasn't because he loved the poor. No, the Bible says because he was a what? A thief. He outed himself right there. If before that time people had been really watching it and said, wait a minute, does that sound right? Don't you know who this is? Do you think any of the other disciples would have thought that way? No, they came and worshiped. He outed, and after a while you'll see that by their fruits, you will know them. You can't get bitter water and sweet out the same fountain. That's what scripture says, isn't that right? No, after a while you hang around some people, you'll know what their spirit is. And if it wasn't that I was a pastor, most of the time I'd like to just be a million miles away. If I could be, I used to avoid people as much as possible. Now I can't quite as much as I'd like to, you know, because that's my job. I have to still try and reach out. But I hate drama. I always say to the Lord, why am I a pastor? Because I hate drama, because that's all you get to deal with is drama sometimes. But we could see by his fruits, even before it came to the betrayal, that he was all about the natural. He had allowed money as the opening. He had allowed money as the opening for something to get in. Wasn't it money that prompted him to betray? 30 pieces of what? Silver. 30 pieces of silver. Whatever we hang on to too tightly and put before God, we're starting to be disobedient, because the Bible says we shall have what? No other gods. That was his disobedience. Money. Money. Let's go on. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning. Remember what I said, that it's got to be a two-way conversation? God keeps giving us grace, keeps giving us mercy. It says, turning the grace of God, all that he gives, into lasciviousness. That means I can do what I want because God's grace. God loves me. He's going to always forgive me. Saul found out that that was not so. Saul found out to his detriment that that did not work. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Denying our Lord Jesus. How do we deny our Lord Jesus Christ? It's in our lifestyle. Right? You've heard this saying so many times, is there enough evidence to convict us of being a Christian? It's in our life. I don't like to, you know, I work with a lot of people, and I don't like to just come out and say I'm a pastor. You know, I try and be wise, because I don't want to make them like in your face. But on the other hand, I don't want them to continue thinking I'm going to, you know. I'll tell you a story. When I went down to Dallas, there was another guy who I was supposed to work with who was coming from somewhere else, and his plane was late. And to be honest with you, as I said, I wanted to avoid him as much as possible. So because his plane was late, I said, well, you know, I'm going to eat. Well, what time your plane is coming? He said 7:30. So I said, well, you know what? I haven't eaten anything. I'm going to eat. So then we were doing this by text. So then he texts me, well, then maybe we could go for a drink afterwards. Can we still get together for a drink? So at that point, I said to myself, how shall I approach this? I don't want to just come and tell him I'm a pastor. And you know, like, so I said to myself, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait till I'm not going to eat. That's what I said. I'm not going to eat. I'll just go to dinner with him. But I'm not going to no bar with him. He said, well, if you're going to eat, well, then maybe we could go for a drink. So I'm sure after a while, he began to realize that when I ate with him, he was the one ordering all the beers. And the first night we went to a restaurant, he ordered this beer. And maybe the Lord was speaking to him, because the beer was terrible. He started drinking and he had to put it down. He said, this is awful. This is awful. And he said, what is this? And so he couldn't drink his beer. So I said, well, thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm not saying we have to have a big Jesus saved me. You're going to hell on your chest. But I'm sure that after the 4 days I was with him, he realized something about me. I didn't have to tell him anything about me, but he realized something about me. So our conversation, our lifestyle should be different. That's how we do not deny Christ. Denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trying to hurry. This is about spiritual warfare. And we have to avoid being used. Because the Bible says that he works through the children of disobedience. And so all we have to do to avoid being used is to be obedient. And hereby we do know that we know him. A person who's not obedient doesn't know Christ. Because he was obedient, the Bible says, even unto death. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. We really didn't get into the part about other people today. We have one more week on spiritual warfare, and I'll try and cover that. I'm going to show you some really interesting things next week. Next week, we're going to go about the weapons. We did the mind. Today, we did about people. Next week, I'm going to show you something about the weapons and a scripture that we read sometimes, and it really doesn't hit us. I'll give it to you now so you can go and study it. But the Bible said that having spoiled, remember the scripture says we wrestle against principalities and powers? When Jesus arose, the scripture says having spoiled principalities and powers. Now, because they use that old English term, spoiled, does anyone know really what it means? Well, that's what it means today. When we say food is spoiled, it means no good. But the original meaning of that word was disarmed. Having disarmed principalities and powers. Do you understand what that means? He has disarmed your enemy. We'll get into the weapons next week. Amen. Let's stand this morning. He says, having spoiled, it means disarmed. Disarmed, taking away their weapons. We are not fighting this battle alone. We are not fighting this alone. You don't have to fight this alone. You don't have to fight with fear. Because the Bible says, having spoiled principalities and powers. So when you face a demon, whether it's in a body or whether it's some disembodied spirit, he's weaponless. That's what the scripture says, having disarmed principalities and powers. Having disarmed. We'll get into that next week. God is so great. God is so merciful. I hope this word has encouraged you and you've heard that we can avoid being used and we can avoid being the children of disobedience just by obeying. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and our hearts at this time, Lord.